So today's message, it's called A New Day of Hope Has Come, based on the last couple of chapters in the Gospel of Mark. And the story that Joey and Julian acted for us is really important because, you know, we need to know, don't we? Did Jesus actually really die? It is important that we think again about this because, you know, if he just fainted and woke up in a cold tomb, then that doesn't give much hope for the rest of humanity. But if he did rise from the dead, as we believe he did, then it changed absolutely everything for all human beings, because sadly we will all die. But Jesus has changed that for us as a pioneer. Now, I put this picture there of that person looking rather down and a child looking very happy. Because, you see, society today is very unsure about the idea of a happy ending. You know, the idea of happily ever after, a happy ending of the story, is something which our society is pretty negative about and would rather say evil will win in the end. But is a happy ending just something you find in a fairy story, you know, for children? I don't know if you realize this, but a famous film director, I think you can see his face there, Steven Spielberg, he failed to win any Oscars for a long time until he discovered the reason why they wouldn't award him an Oscar. I mean, he's won Oscars since, but the reason they wouldn't award him an Oscar was because his films had happy endings. A lot of the earlier ones had happy endings. And it was only when he made a movie that had a sad, depressing ending that he started to win the Oscars. Isn't it bizarre and amazing? And society is very cynical about a really positive future and a happy ending. I mean, this is what one atheist professor said. A non-believer, his name is Professor Lawrence Krauss. He wrote these rather depressing words. He wrote, "The picture that science gives us is uncomfortable because what we have learned is that we are more insignificant than we ever could have imagined, and the future is miserable." That is according to one non-believing professor. But let me give you a different angle on this. This is another professor, a professor of English literature, Professor J.R.R. Tolkien. He was a believer in the Bible, and he wrote, as you know, The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, which my children like. But another professor who did believe in the Bible said these words: "Happy endings point to a deeper reality behind the universe. The gospel is the true story to which all other stories point. The resurrection is the decisive turning point of history." And then Tolkien said this about the gospel: "There is no tale ever told that people would rather find is true, and none which so many skeptics have accepted as true." And what I want to say is, you know, there've been lots of professors who are atheists, but there are a lot of other professors, for example, Tolkien, John Lennox, who believe absolutely in a happy ending for those in Christ, that Jesus did come back from the dead. And I want to show you this slide. This is my first point. There are 3 points. I'm going to do 2 points in the first talk. The first basic point is Jesus really did beat death. Okay, he really did. And we know that from the account in Mark's gospel. Let me just show you these pictures a moment. You see, the writer of Mark's gospel goes to great lengths to really establish that Jesus truly did die, and he roots it in history. You know, it's not a fairy story. It's not a happy ever after in a galaxy a long time ago, far, far away. It was at 3 p.m. outside Jerusalem. You see, I've put a clock there. He actually says in Mark chapter 15, verse 33, it took place, Jesus died at 3 p.m. So he roots it in history, and he says that it was outside Jerusalem. He gives a location. And also, some scholars think Jesus died on the 3rd of April, A.D. 33, at 3 p.m. So he makes it very clear that this is a historical event, but he goes beyond that. He establishes that Jesus really died by looking at some key figures. Now, in Mark 15, verse 44, we have a Roman centurion. And the Roman centurions were experts at executions. They watched many criminals die, and they knew full well when a prisoner had died. And in verse 44, the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, he's surprised, and he says to the centurion, you know, is Jesus really dead? Can you confirm that? And in verse 45, the Roman centurion confirms it and says, yes, he's dead. And if you know the story, they also put a spear into Jesus' dead body. So we've got the centurion. He would not be fooled into, you know, Jesus didn't faint on the cross. And then we have a man called Joseph of Arimathea, who took Jesus' body very boldly. He was a wealthy man. He knew Jesus, member of the Jewish council. He took Jesus' body. Now, he knew Jesus. He would have recognized that it was, in fact, his friend. And he wrapped the body carefully in white linen. And he also took it to a tomb where he rolled a stone. It says that Joseph of Arimathea rolled a stone across the tomb. And that would prevent the body getting mixed up or swapped over or easily stolen or removed. And then we read in verse 40 of Mark 15 about two women, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, of Joses and Salome. Now, these two women, it says in verse 40, were watching Jesus die on the cross. And there were other women watching too. They watched him die. And they loved him. They saw that this was real. But in case you still think that maybe Jesus survived, we read in verse 47 of Mark chapter 15 that Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, or Joses, they saw where he was laid. So the point is, what the author is doing in this gospel, he's cutting off all your escape routes. You know, it's impossible that Jesus fainted. It's impossible that that the women got the tomb mixed up. You know, maybe they went to the wrong tomb on the Sunday morning. You know, they forgot which tomb it was. No, they saw where Jesus was laid. It's impossible the body was swapped over or easily stolen because there was a huge rock door. What the author's doing and telling you about the centurion, he's saying, look, this Jesus really did die. Now, this goes on to something else very incredible that then happened, which suddenly convinced these grieving women that he had, in fact, beaten death. You know, there's no doubt Jesus did die. No chance of any mix-up of the tomb. Fair enough. But then we read something in chapter 16, verse 3, that convinces these witnesses, these women, that Jesus did beat death. It says in chapter 16 of Mark, verse 3, they were on their way to the tomb. They asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed or frightened, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. That, by the way, is a painting by a French 19th century artist of the women seeing the angel. Now, this convinced these women. And in case you think that's not much evidence. All the other gospel stories have multiple appearances of Jesus, even Jesus appearing to 500 people all at the same time. But I don't just want to try and argue that this is true, because although it is true, I want to ask, why is this so important to us? Why is it the best news imaginable to us? What does it mean for us? And this will be my sort of second point, really. I want to just highlight some very important words in verse 7 of Mark 16. In verse 7, the angel says, go and tell the disciples and Peter that Jesus, that's Jesus, is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Please note those crucial words, just as he told you. In other words, what Jesus says happens. Now, if Jesus rose from the dead, that is probably the biggest guarantee that what Jesus says is going to happen. Because Jesus predicted three times in Mark chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, he predicted three times that he would rise from the dead. Now, that is an astounding promise. And if he achieved that, then it implies that all the other promises Jesus has ever said will come true just as he told you. Because the clincher is the resurrection. It's the guarantee. Well, if he can rise from the dead, I mean, no one's done that before. If he can rise from the dead and he said he would, then maybe all the other promises he said are true. Let me just show you this picture of a gallant hero, a young hero knight kneeling before his beloved, his true love. Well, I'd like you to imagine, please, this young hero. He says to his true love, he says, darling, there's a giant, an evil giant in the land. He's terrorizing the country. I am going to go and slay, I'm going to kill that big giant. Then I will end the reign of terror over the country. And then he says, then I will inherit the throne, darling. And then he says, and then we will get married. Okay? Now, imagine the princess, she sees her knight in shining armor. He kills the giant. She sees him do that. Well, she has no trouble then believing all the other things are going to happen. You know, he's defeated the giant. Well, he said he would, and he's done it. Therefore, everything else he promised me is going to happen too. He's going to inherit a throne. We're going to get married. That's the kind of power of the resurrection. So my second point of this first little part, the longer part of this talk, is that Jesus really did beat death. We've said that. And the future that Jesus promised is on track. You know, it's like a train on track and on time. Everything Jesus promised is really going to happen, you know. It really, really is, because he rose from the dead. And that's probably the hardest promise to fulfill. Let me just show you this little slide here. Jesus promised three times he would rise from the dead in Mark 8, 9, and 10. Tick! He's done that. Jesus promised also in Mark chapter 14 that the disciples would all be scattered. They would scatter. They would be in fear. But then Jesus would meet them in Galilee and he would bring them all back together. And that is already happening here in chapter 16, verse 7, where he says he is going ahead into Galilee and there you will see him just as he told you. Now, the other main cluster of promises is about the return of Christ, which hasn't happened yet. You know, the picture there on the right is just an artist's picture of Jesus returning with his saints, with his angels. And the point I want to make is, do you believe Jesus really, really is coming back? Because in Mark chapter 13, he said he would return at the end of time and establish an eternal kingdom in his glory. And Jesus said these words, in the resurrection. In other words, we are going to have a resurrection. We are all going to have resurrected bodies, and it's absolutely as sure as eggs is eggs, if you excuse the Easter pun, as sure as eggs is eggs, Jesus is going to fulfill his promise and come back. Let me just show you this picture. In ancient times, in the Straits of Gibraltar, in the far west of the Mediterranean Sea, they used to believe that was the end of the known world. And tradition has it that they erected two pillars called the Pillars of Hercules. And they wrote on the pillar on the left, they wrote these words in Latin, but I won't say the Latin, but they wrote these words, "There is nothing." And then on the other pillar, they wrote "beyond." So what they said was, there is nothing beyond this point, beyond the Straits of Gibraltar. You know, if you sail your ship out through these pillars, there's nothing out there. It's the edge of the world. You'll fall off the world. There's no hope for you. It's danger and death, and there's nothing beyond. Okay? Well, that was fine until one day a fellow called Christopher Columbus decided to sail his ship out through the Straits of Gibraltar. And he not only went to another world, but he came back telling us of the things that he discovered there. And tradition has it that Spain, after the return of Christopher Columbus, they decided to put on their Spanish coat of arms these two pillars again. And the Latin there is plus, which means there is more. And then on the other pillar, it says ultra, beyond. So what they did was, when Christopher Columbus came back, they said, hang on a minute, there is something beyond these pillars, beyond the Straits of Gibraltar. And the name on this Spanish coat of arms today, it's still there today, is "There is more beyond," plus ultra. Now, I'm telling you that simply to say that in the same way Jesus braved the storms of death, Jesus went beyond that place where it's mysterious to us, and he came back, and he tells us there is more beyond. For those who trust in Christ, there is a permanent resurrection guaranteed for all of you listening this morning. It's absolutely secure. Jesus did beat death, and all the future he promised is on track. Okay, so we've said so far that Jesus did beat death. The future that Jesus promised is on track. But I want to encourage you with this very simple short thought, that all our failures can be forgiven. Now, that drama that we saw on the beach was obviously Peter. He was acting as Peter, the one who denied the Lord three times in front of a coal fire. And isn't it wonderful that when the risen Jesus appears to Peter on the beach, it is again in front of a coal fire, where he's cooking fish, but again it's in front of a coal fire, and it's the same setting in a sense. And in that place where Peter let Jesus down three times, in that very same kind of place, in front of a fire, he restores Peter three times and tells him to feed his sheep, which means, you know, go and lead my church. The wonderful thing about all of this, at the end of the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 7, the words are very tender towards the disciples. I mean, have you noticed? The angel sends a message from Jesus and says, go and tell his disciples and Peter, I love that he is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you. He picks out Peter and says, tell the disciples and Peter. You know, it's to say, look, Peter, I know what you did, but I completely forgive you. See, after the resurrection, Jesus doesn't start again with a brand new set of friends. He doesn't ditch his old friends. He doesn't say to the angel, tell those backstabbing failures, you know, they better apologize and prove they are sorry. I mean, that's what maybe some of us might be tempted to do. But Jesus didn't write them off. They all deserted Jesus at the cross, really. It wasn't just Peter who let him down. Jesus' priority after the resurrection is to send a message to them to say he just wants them back. He wants to meet them. You know, all is forgiven. It's wonderful news, really. And perhaps sometimes you may feel, or I may feel, like Peter. We may feel that we've let the Lord down. But I'd like you to look at that verse 7 and imagine your name in there. Now, I know you may not have denied the Lord like Peter has done, but we've all failed at times in our lives. But put your name in there instead. You know, let me read it this way. But go and tell his disciples and Simon that I'm going to meet him. You know, it's put your name in there. God really, really loves you. He really does. And he really forgives you for everything you've done. If you come to him and turn to him, in his kingdom, those who have failed will be forgiven and restored. And I love the fact that coming into God's kingdom is not a high jump. It's not you've got to do, you know, you've got to perform perfectly. I mean, when I was a youngster, I was part of the school high jump team. And I used to quite enjoy it, competing in the high jump with other schools. But, you know, there came a point where you just weren't good enough. And the truth is that none of us are good enough to meet the standards that God sets. But we don't have to jump over the bar. That's what Jesus did. All we have to do is admit that we have failed, that we haven't reached the high mark. And just come on our knees. We come on our knees and go under the bar. We go under the bar and say, Lord, just accept me back. And he will. In many ways, all of us are Peters. Let me just tell you a quick story, a true story from America. It concerns a prisoner who had shamed his family. And this story was told in 1961 by a prison guard called Kenyon Scudder. You can look it up on the internet if you want to check it out. But Kenyon Scudder, this prison officer, said there was a prisoner who had gone into jail and had shamed his family, and he'd written to his family asking for forgiveness, but he never got a reply. And he hoped the reason he never got a reply was because the family were too poor to travel, and also they were, some of them were illiterate, they couldn't write. Only I think the dad could read. But anyway, he wrote another letter and he said, Dad, I'm being released from prison. I hope you get this letter. I hope you can read it. I'm coming home on the train. If you will accept me, will you please tie a white ribbon to the apple tree at the foot of our garden? Because when the train goes past, I will see the white ribbon tied on the apple tree of our garden. And if there's no white ribbon, I will know that I'm not welcome. And I will just get off the platform and go somewhere else. So anyway, he was on the train coming into the village or town and wondering what he would see. And to his amazement, when he got there, he saw not just one ribbon, but thousands of ribbons. The whole tree was covered in white ribbons, and the dad completely wanted his son back. And in a way, this is like what Jesus can do as a result of the resurrection. So this is the last slide. As we've said, Jesus really did beat death. So the future that Jesus promised is all on track. And lastly, really great news, all our failures can be forgiven. Absolutely. That story of the story of the dad and the ribbons is a glimmer of how we are welcomed by Christ. So I hope you have a great Easter. I hope this message has encouraged you. Evil will not win in the end. Coronavirus will not win in the end. Death, although it seems so final, is only really sleep. Jesus will awaken everyone when he returns. He called death sleep. Ultimately, there is going to be a happily ever after ending for those who trust in Jesus Christ. You know, all these things, he beat death. The future promises are sure, and all failures can be forgiven. Let me just say a quick prayer and then we'll sing our final song. Lord, we thank you that the resurrection is utterly real. We thank you that you have beaten death. We thank you that God is true and can never lie. All that you've promised will come to pass. And we thank you, probably above all, that all our failures can be absolutely, all our sins can be forgiven and taken away. Thank you, Lord, for rising from the dead and making the way for us. In Jesus' name, amen.